Welcome to the Visibility Strategies for Women Entrepreneurs podcast, where we empower female business owners to step boldly into the spotlight and claim the recognition they deserve. I'm your host, Tori Barker. I'm passionate about helping women like you transform your visibility into tangible business success. Each week on this show, we'll dive deep into game-changing strategies, share inspiring success stories from women who've mastered their visibility, and offer practical, actionable advice you can implement immediately. Whether you're just starting your entrepreneurial journey, pivoting your business model, or ready to elevate your existing presence to new heights, you'll discover effective approaches to create exciting opportunities and expand your reach. So let's harness the power of strategic visibility and grow your business together. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the Visibility Strategies for Women Entrepreneurs podcast. Today's guest is Erin Austin, founder of Think Beyond IP. Erin is a Harvard-educated attorney helping experts scale smart by protecting and monetizing their IP legally and ethically. In a fast-changing world of AI content creation and corporate clients, Erin is here to help you make sure that your IP is protected. Hey, Erin, thanks so much for joining us on the show. How are you?
I am great. Thank you so much, Tori. Excited to be here.
Yes, I can't wait to hear. Tell us a little bit about your story and how you became the founder of Think Beyond IP.
Oh my goodness. Well, I spent most of my career working for big companies, helping big companies get bigger. And there came a point in my career where, you know, it became very apparent the influence that wealth has in our country. And so I wanted to see, like, what can I do to help get wealth in the hands of more people? And like, what transferable skills do I have? And what I knew was I knew doing deals with corporations and like, okay, who's on the other side of those deals? And I know intellectual property and copyright in particular. And so, okay, you know, how do I combine these to work with a different population of people? In particular, I was interested in working with female founders of expertise-based businesses. And so like, how do I help them? Well, I help them to realize the value of their expertise and also for them to become comfortable in that relationship with those corporate clients that, you know, to treat it as a partnership and not as a, you know, I'm here to do your bidding and make sure that they really, you know, kind of feel confident in that relationship. So kind of came all my prior experience kind of came together. And so very excited to be able to work with this new demographic.
I love that. And you touched on it a little bit, but, you know, as women entrepreneurs specifically, we build our businesses around the knowledge that we have or frameworks that we have developed over time. So how can we protect our signature frameworks and make them assets?
Yeah, I mean, what a great question. So, you know, most of us, you know, I realize I don't know, Tori, if you are ex-corporate, but we do come out, yes, and we have the expertise that we use and that we're now using with our clients. And whatever it is that we're using to provide value. So there is some sort of transformation that we're making for our clients. The reason they pay us is because there's some transformation that they seek that we can help them with. And whatever that tool is, whether it is a training or a course or, you know, a strategy or copy, whatever it is, we are using some tool to create that transformation. And that is our intellectual property. Like some, you know, whatever, whether we formalize it or not, whether it's just in our heads, when we are using our intellect, we're creating intellectual property. And so, you know, in the US, and by the way, everything I talk about will be under US law. Yeah. In the US, we can protect the product of our intellectual property, in a couple of ways. I work with clients with copyrights. And so copyright law protects the expression of our idea. So when we put it down in a tangible form, we write it down, when we record it in a podcast, when we paint it, we sculpt it, when we take our ideas and we express them in some tangible way, we can protect it under copyright law. And so that is how I work with my clients to help make sure they protect that expression of their ideas. And I will just say this, that, ideas themselves cannot be protected, but the way that you express them can be.
Yeah. I think it's so interesting because it's something that a lot of entrepreneurs don't think about is the intellectual property. And I'm glad we're having this conversation because it's opening up that concept and that thought and the idea around, well, yeah, I do have ownership over this, right? And how you use it can be protected. So I love that, specifically you're focusing on women entrepreneurs because here we go. but yeah, do you find that a lot of people, when you start talking to them, they have the realization that, oh, I never knew that, or I hadn't thought about that. Is that something that's common when you start working with them?
Absolutely. There's a lot of education involved. All of us, we maybe are selling our time. And we are, selling the result to our clients, and that's what they're paying us for. Maybe we're billing by the hour, but we're not thinking about the fact that every time we are creating a deliverable, there's some intellectual property involved. The question is, do you own it because you've protected it, or does the client own it because you've just, signed whatever they put in front of you that says they own 100% of what you deliver to them? And so having the conversation about first that, again, and this has been a process for me, by the way, when I first started talking, I'm like, intellectual capital, and everyone's like, what, huh? And then you start like, okay, maybe I'll talk about IP. And then like, okay, let me talk about, the tools that you use to create value, And so like, so that they're not thinking like about the legal issues, but just about the practical issues of, yeah, what I use to create value for my clients, I want to protect it so I can use it for other clients, or that so I can build a course with it, or I can write a book with it. But you have to make sure you're thinking in terms of, the assets that you're using in your business to make sure you own them and protect them so that you can leverage them.
Now, so I just kind of walking it through this concept in my head, I'm thinking about, when you bring a client on and you're using your intellectual property, obviously women entrepreneurs are doing contracts. Most of the times you're writing contracts with your clients that give you some protection. Is that where you need to add a line item about your IP, or how do you incorporate that when you start working with clients?
Yeah. So if you have a typical corporate client, they will have their own template, right, that they send to you. And maybe they have just one that they use, no matter how big or small the supplier or vendor is. Maybe you've seen one of these, it's 50 pages long, and you're like, oh my God, I'm just doing. So, but in there, they will have some standard language about who owns the deliverables. And, unfortunately, a lot of times it's very one-sided, and it will say that the client will own all of the deliverables. So let's say they say, we want you to come in and create a team building program for our team and deliver it. You build it because these are our issues, and then you're going to deliver it. And so if you have signed that agreement as is that says they own everything, well, they own that training that you created for them, right? And so what we want to do is make sure that we understand, obviously you interview them, you find out what the issues are. That is their information that will stay theirs. They will own it. But when you apply their information to your framework, to your pre-existing training materials, to your assessments, those are yours. You do not want to give them the ownership rights in those materials. And even if we retain ownership of them, the other way we get in trouble is, okay, you'll see like, okay, it says that I continue to own my pre-existing materials, but then I grant a license to the client to use them.
Well, how broad is that license? Does that license say they can use it in perpetuity? Does it say they can create derivatives of it? Does it say that they can sublicense it? And you will see, and this is fairly common, is that you'll see a license that you grant to that client that lets them literally do everything that you can do as the copyright owner, that they can make copies of it, that they can distribute it, that they can sell it, that they can, use it with every subsidiary and all these different cohorts without you. And so making sure that we have language that is really clear about how they can use the training that you delivered, so that you don't lose control of it.
So, what about entrepreneurs who are kind of in the beginning of their business? Do you start at the beginning? Because a lot of people will think like, oh, well, I'm just getting started. Maybe I don't need this. Like, talk about maybe the importance of starting at the beginning, because I have a feeling that, your IP is your IP, whether you're just starting out or you've been in business for years to come. Can you touch on that point?
Yeah, it's never too soon to start thinking about that. Now, it may be when you first start your business and you have, your old employer, says, "Hey, can you do this for you?" And then a friend says, "Hey, can you do this?" And you don't really have your own framework. You just know how to write copy, or you know how to, design websites, whatever it is. And you just do it, right? But then over time, you will develop your own ways of doing things. And you do want to make sure that you are protecting those things. And we want to make sure that it's original. The biggest issue is if you want to own it, you actually have to have created it. So it has to be original. It doesn't mean that you don't get certifications. A lot of people get certifications. But if you're only using third party assessments and only using third party frameworks, then you aren't going to own those deliverables, right? And so you can't use that to write a book unless you get permission, right? You can't use it to create a course because that's not yours. And so if you're, without being overwhelmed, just be thinking about as you one client, 10 clients, you'll start to see the patterns. You'll start to see they all have the same pain points, or they all have the same, need the same solution. You start to build, okay, like let me see, like I have this signature solution that I have that I'm now building out because 80% of my clients need the same thing. And you just slowly start to build it out. It's not something you come out of the gates. I mean, it could be that you were doing something in corporate that was so niche that you can come out and you immediately know what you're doing. But most of us don't come out that way. We develop it over time and just be, documenting your process. And over time it will develop into a framework that's original to you and that has enough substance to it that it would be eligible for protection.
That's awesome. Now, as our economy and our business and the industries and everything are developing, we have this integrated tool, AI, that has come into play, which I know everyone talks about this, right? Because it's happening. It's coming, it's here, it's growing, whether we like it or not. So, talk about some risks or some things to be aware of when you're using AI so that you don't lose an IP that you put into an AI chat or whatever it is that you're using. So, can you touch on that a little bit?
Yeah, so there's a couple of different risks associated with AI. So let's just start talk about the generative AIs, the ChatGPTs and Claudes of the world. And so for those, anything that is in the input, so what you put into the chat, becomes part of the training data of that platform. And so if it's something confidential, obviously you don't want to put that in there because it becomes part of the training data. On the other end, the output at this time, and who knows how long this will last, in order to have copyright protection, something has to be created by a human. And right now, AI isn't human. We'll see how long that lasts. But so if you say, write an article for me about, human design, and it writes this great article, we can debate whether or not it will be great. but let's just say it's good enough and you want to own it. Well, you can't. You have the right to publish it because nobody owns it. It's just, you know, but you don't own it. So somebody else can publish the exact same article and you would have no rights with respect to that. And so I always say, you know, don't use AI with your money maker. So if you're creating a course or writing something that you want to be able to protect against third party infringers, you want to be able to register it in the copyright office for protection. It cannot be AI generated materials. So you want to make sure of that. When we're using AI in our workflow, which can be, you know, more insidious. Like for instance, today we're recording here on Zoom, but you know, people will come with their Otter AI, right? Oh, yeah. And so Otter is listening to everything that you're saying. And, you know, do you know whether or not, you know, this conversation, you're having a conversation with your client, they're talking about all their, you know, trade secrets, and you have Otter record it to send you a transcript later, send you a summary later on. What does Otter do with all that? You know, you need to know what every tool will have its own terms of use. And even worse, if it doesn't have any, because some don't, they're just adding AI without having specific terms of use. You need to understand what it is doing with the materials that you're, you know, however you're using that platform, whether it's, you know, ClickUp has it now, Canva has it, Zoom has it, Adobe has it. I mean, you name it. You know, if you're using the AI assistant in those, you need to make sure you understand how they're using your data.
So you talked a little bit about AI generating content for you and that you can't own that because it's not human. What if you humanize the AI content? So like you get like a rough draft and then you put your own spin on it, you make edits, then does that become something that you can technically own?
Yeah. So there's no formula, but basically the Copyright Office, US Copyright Office has said the fact that some AI generated content is included in the end work, the final work, does not preclude it from copyright protection. But basically, the part that is AI generated would not be protected, but the part that is human created would be. And so obviously, the more transform the AI generated content is to the final content, the greater the protection will be. And, you know, sometimes it's very easy to see like what's human. Like maybe you say, you know, AI, just write some like little vignettes for me, but you've written all the other stuff. So you can very easily say, okay, the vignettes aren't protected, but all the other stuff is. But a lot of times, you know, it's a rough draft and then you create a layer on top of it. And it just is, I mean, at the end of the day, because the Copyright Office isn't going to, like it'll ask you if you want to register it, they'll ask you, you know, is there anything you want to disclaim? And, you know, you'd say no, because you wrote the whole thing. Yeah. But you won't really know until there is an infringement, right? And someone publishes something that is very similar to yours. And you're like, no, I wrote this. I registered in the Copyright Office. And they're like, hey, this is just what came out of ChatGPT, you know, and it might not be different enough, you know, like, so you really don't know. So, you know, again, if it's something that is important enough to you that you would hire a lawyer because somebody infringed it, make sure it's original. Like, don't take that risk, right? So that would be my recommendation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's so, I'm sure this is evolving as AI and technology evolves, like what is copyrighted? How do you know that this is from an AI tool? How do you know what's humanized? I'm sure it's like, for you, you're always kind of like trying to stay one step ahead to understand where your rights are, where the IP, you know, basically lies. So I'm sure that's fascinating.
Yeah. I mean, I will say that, you know, as it's evolved, you know, 3 years ago when I first started, you know, when I became aware of, you know, kind of the consumer level AI, you know, with the ChatGPTs and whatnot, that was what it was all about. But as it's developed, as it's part of all of our workflows, like it's just, you know, in there, and the development of what is called agentic AI, AI that can make decisions, you know, and just proceed without you, completely without any human intervention. Like for me, that's more interesting, but it doesn't mean that the other stuff isn't. I think most of us kind of understand that when we're using ChatGPT, we shouldn't put confidential stuff in there, and, you know, but really understanding what our productivity tools are doing has become kind of the next frontier, especially when you have corporate clients, because they will want to know what you're doing with their data. Yeah,
absolutely. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Okay. Well, I want to wrap it up with one final question. So if someone's building a visibility brand or a visibility based brand, what's one simple step that they can take to help legally protect some of their IP without feeling overwhelmed or, you know, not really understanding where to start? What's one step that they can take?
Yeah, well, putting it into a concrete form like your podcast. So when you are recording it, you've created a asset that is eligible for copyright protection. And so making sure that we are putting it in a tangible format, writing, recording, you know, those things that we can protect, then we can make sure that other people can't copy it. But I also want to always encourage people to not be afraid to get their ideas out there, because at the end of the day, you know, to become known for something, you have to spread your ideas as far and as wide as you can. And so I know there will be people like, I'm afraid to publish this because then someone's going to steal it. Well, then no one's going to know about it either. Right. Yeah. So, yeah. So make sure that you stay in your zone of genius by, you know, talking about, you know, your expertise and make sure you're publishing and recording. And that's the best thing that you can do.
And you can't keep your greatness a secret, right?
You can't. It doesn't work that way.
So tell us how people can get in touch with you, stay connected. Are there any things that you have that you want to share with the audience? Just tell us how people can start to get connected and learn more about you.
Yeah. So thank you for that. So my website is thinkbeyondip.com. And there you can sign up for my newsletter, a weekly newsletter where I talk about, scaling expertise. So making sure that you own and control it, including, you know, obviously the AI issues involved with that as well. And I also do LinkedIn Lives at least once a month, sometimes more frequently, where you can bring your questions and we'll talk about copyright, AI as well. And then I am working on a workshop where we will get together and create our own AI usage policies based on our own productivity tech stack, so that we understand exactly, you know, everything that is in our tech stack, understanding the legal risks associated with them. We talk about bias issues. We didn't talk about that today, but the bias and attribution issues that come along with it. We make sure that our contracts reflect both protect our clients, but also protect ourselves. And so, yeah, I'm really excited about that. So I have a wait list for that, for when that launches again. So
awesome. Well, I'll definitely put some links in the show notes to your website, to your LinkedIn profile. And then if you have a link for that, I can obviously put a link in there for the wait list. But Aaron, thank you so much for being a guest. It was a pleasure to meet you, to talk with you, to just understand the world that you live in and how, you know, we all have this IP and this knowledge that we shouldn't overlook. And so yes. Thank you for shedding a light on that.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been a joy. Thank you.